Hey, welcome into Morning Invest on this Monday, January 17th. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And coming up on today's show, Edward Snowden, the NSA whistleblower, has a few things to say about America's decline. He's been pointing to a number of key things that have been happening in the United States over the past few weeks. And this most recent one about America's train infrastructure is going to leave you with your jaw dropped. Wait till you see these videos.
And more executives were caught not following the COVID rules that you probably followed. Another example of winners and losers and those in privilege getting on the winning side.
And hey, I don't know, David, are you on the new billionaires list? It's out today. There's new 500 billionaires just announced. Are you on that list?
No, I missed it by $7.
Next year. We'll bring you the very latest on the brand new billionaires. More billionaires than ever before have been created in this year. We'll show you who's on the list. And all that and more as Morning Invest starts right now. You missed our pre-show this morning where we were talking about
our marital foibles.
Yeah, you got to join us for foibles. Live. We're live at 9 a.m. Eastern time, and people in the chat are saying yes, because it is Mercury retrograde. Mercury retrograde plus man equals possible disaster. I will give you that.
I'm not going to disagree with you there.
I'll give you that. All right. So, hey, we got a morning newsletter that is out, hopefully, by now. If you go to morninginvest.com, that's how you can subscribe and get the daily newsletter, morninginvest.com, delivered to your inbox. Usually, if it's not Mercury retrograde, it's 6:30 a.m. Eastern time. You can read it over your cup of coffee. And we've added a new thing to the newsletter. David had a great idea last week. We were thinking about sort of updating some of the things. And so we added a new poll section. So sort of a daily poll that you can weigh in on in the newsletter. And then we'll reveal the results here during the show. So today's poll question, we had it in the newsletter. David, do you have it in front of you by any chance? Today's poll question?
I never sent it. Is it on the...
Oh, it's on the community tab. Sorry, and then I don't have it in front of me.
I don't have that either.
I'll go there right now.
What is that?
Well, while we're doing that, can you tell people how to sign up for the membership?
You can go to morninginvest.com/join and join and become a channel member. That gives you access to all sorts of fun things. For instance, speaking to us during the show in the members only chat. Although we also love to hear your voice in many other forums. We love the conversation with our members. So yes, please do sign up today.
Yeah, here it is. Yeah, go ahead.
I have the poll. And I'm going to post it in the chat.
Okay.
Okay, great.
So you guys can go take it.
And the poll is, as grocery store shortages deepen, are you noticing the cost of your everyday products going up? Let us know in the chat. Are you seeing this or is the media overblowing this? Let us know. And is it affecting you and your family? So that poll is up. And Jody says, still no newsletter. Yeah, I don't know what's
going on. It's coming, guys. It's coming. It was written. There was something. I'm not sure. We did not take the day off today for Martin Luther King Day, although today is a holiday in the United States. The United States government released a statement saying this is not a day off. It's supposed to be a day on. It's a day where you think about, get your brain turned on and think about how you can do better, which is
unless
a nice sentiment.
Unless you're a bank. And you want to gain interest, then you take it off.
If you're Congress, you take days off. You take days off and do nothing, but they'll be back tomorrow.
You know, I read that statement and I was like, okay, let me just read this without snark or disappointment. You know, like, let's just read it for, it's a nice statement. Like, you can volunteer, you can do these nice things, but it's just so hard for me, like, with the dysfunction of our current government to take that and be like, oh, good. Lovely. You're doing nice things. Well, you're saying nice words.
And we do have another story coming up in just a few moments about rules for them, rules for you, and how, you know, a number of high profile elites, members of government are sort of on the chopping block because they decided to listen to their, you know, tell you what to do. But they live to a totally different set of rules. So we'll get to that.
Yes.
All right. But let's talk about Edward Snowden. So Edward Snowden has been tweeting over the past few days about America's decline. And there are some really troubling things that are emerging about America's infrastructure, specifically around the U.S. railways. And this is really, really troubling. This is the Los Angeles Times talking about how ugly it is out there. And all of these, there's been stories about all of these rail thieves Like if you've noticed like, hey, none of your medicine has shown up, your boxes haven't shown up, what's going on? Well, it turns out that all across the country, but specifically highlighted here in Los Angeles, railroads are being broken into nonstop and rail thieves are just like camped out stealing as much as they can in order to basically survive. Steal packages, sell them on the black market, steal medicines, steal food stuff. This is America in decline. Here is Edward Snowden tweeting about this. Here's his Twitter handle, but he tweeted about this just a short time ago. It says, scenes from the decline. And this is a scene of a journalist who kept hearing about these burglaries in Los Angeles County on the police scanner. And this wasn't getting any coverage. So he decided to be a good journalist and boots on the ground. Imagine that. And go and cover this. And he says, you know, I was hearing about those looted packages as far as the eye can see. Amazon packages, UPS boxes, COVID tests, phishing lures, EpiPens, everything scattered about. And here, just as an example, this is what he shot. Like, this is the journal. This is America right here.
So if you think about it, it stands to reason that it might be easier to, say, rob a cargo train than rob a store, right? Because anything and everything is shipped via train and truck to you, everything you touch. In fact, in the book Secret Life of Groceries, he talks about the trucking industry in depth and says, even if you think you're the kind of person who lives self-sustainably, the seeds that you buy to plant in order are shipped to you, trucked to you. So all valuable things now are going through these supply chains, and it's profitable to rip them off, see what you can get in there. That looks awful. The COVID, and those are blood vials, not necessarily...
Yeah, and COVID because vials. Of all of this, and by the way, because of all of that detritus, I guess that's the best way to describe it, and thievery, it's caused the trains to derail. So yes. There's so much detritus on the tracks that now the trains have derailed. I mean, look at this. This one came off the tracks and smashed because of all of the stuff on the tracks.
So the railroad company is saying nobody was hurt, and they're doing an investigation. It's not hard to investigate the fact that the tracks are not cleared. And they are saying now, Union Pacific is estimating that about 90 cargo containers per day are compromised. The government is saying, well, they haven't done a good enough job with their security. They don't have enough security. They're not keeping these rail lines clear. And then there's literally like nobody's job description is to clean up theft on railroads, right? That's just right. Not something we had even thought about as a possibility. And it's awful. And, you know, think about like, okay, there are many causalities to this kind of thing. One, you know, we're staying at home, we're ordering more online, we have more accessible. I was listening to Tom Wheelwright's podcast, and he talked about, what do you call it, the WAC problem, which has kept Americans from feeling the recession that's coming, which is Walmart, Amazon, China. Is that China can produce things cheaply. Walmart can sell them cheaply, and Amazon can ship them to you cheaply. So because of those things, we have not felt the fallout from all of the money that was pumped into the economy after the 2008-2009 collapse, which inflated government, hurt the everyday people, but we just don't know it because of this whack perversion, basically. Well, that's what this is. This is the whack problem, what exactly you're looking at.
Well, it's also the collapse of it, right? When you see,
yes,
right? So now yes. People are going to start to pay attention, right? Because now, and literally people
will
like,
we?
Well, there was a lot of people saying, oh, so this is where my packages went. Like, this is where my medicine went.
But what will those people do? Just reorder them.
Right. But then it will continue. Like in this process, you know, again, this stuff will continue over and over again. People will continue to break in. What are you going to do about it? This is happening all across the country now. This is not just Los Angeles. And this is where it's getting the most, the most reporting.
How do they, then we take shared responsibility for something like this? Because...
Well, I mean, here's one thing. One person ordering one fishing lure in a box being shipped to them. I mean, makes you kind of think about it, right? So one person goes on, instead of like going to their local fishing shop, because they're scared of getting COVID or what, I don't know. You know, this is a major responsibility of the federal government. And if we see further lockdowns because of Omicron fears, yeah. You know, I saw a story today, really troubling, this idea that what's next for the Biden administration? Is the Biden administration going to move forward with mandatory lockdowns for those people who are unvaccinated? That the only way to get a handle on this, according to the Biden administration, is to mandatorily lock down those people who are unvaxxed. And therefore, this is a brilliant way for them to try to lock in 2022 midterm elections, right? By keeping, quote unquote, Trump voters at home or unvaccinated Trump voters at home.
Yes.
And making the only person that can go to a poll is person who's vaccinated. So if you haven't gotten vaccinated, I'm sorry. And so we're going to see this separation. People are forced to stay home. Their businesses are closed. And so what do they do? And sort of they want to get a fishing lure. The only way to do it, they go to Amazon and they have to box it up, has to ship on a train just to get one little dinky thing from China. Ridiculous.
Yes. I think it's unfair to say that that person ordered one lure. We don't know. Right. And it was not of value to someone who is thieving. But I think, you know, when you see, okay, this is an environmental hazard and we all share responsibility for this shared belief that we have sort of internalized that I can have something tomorrow if I want it and I don't have to go to the store to get it, right? And then what happens is like it makes these, but otherwise, what? You know, I'm struggling here with like, how do we take shared responsibility rather than just blame the government here? Because I think this is a collective problem and it's clearly an existential problem for all of us.
Well, it's not just the government, of course, right? It's Wall Street.
Right.
It's this, you know, it's as we talked about in the war on small business, it's the collapse of small business, this reliance on WAC, as you say, right? So this Walmart, Amazon, I mean, Walmart today just launched their NFT marketplace. So Walmart's doing fine.
Yes.
Yeah, Amazon's doing fine. Target's doing fine. So, and all of these shipping companies are doing just fine. So big business, big box retailers, Wall Street doing just fine, record profits. Right.
Yes.
We have a story coming up in the show about how, you know, a whole new list of billionaires was just minted this time around. So what do we do? I mean, I don't know. I mean, can we demand more from our government and the oligarchy that's being run by these big businesses, these Wall Street elites? I mean, can we say enough is enough? Like we are.
I just don't know who do you blame here? Right. Like the inflation we've talked about for many years, I haven't been on the show for years, for many weeks about how there are government actions that have led to inflation. $4 trillion was created out of thin air last year, which means that people are more desperate and then what, buying more cheaply made goods. And so what can we do is sort of resist the urge to buy cheaply made goods. We can shop local. We can, all of those things make a difference. I'm going to take this opportunity to humble brag about my sister-in-law who just opened a small business where people now go to refill. Can you pull up the article about, do you mind?
No, I don't mind.
Oh, okay.
I just, you're.
Because there are solutions if we collectively take small steps, right? So my sister-in-law launched a business in Reading, Pennsylvania, where you take your containers and you go and refill all your household products. So shampoo, conditioner, all-purpose cleaner, window cleaner, whatever it is. And you refill. You don't go to Target and get five bottles of Tide. You get one sustainable bottle and you just keep going back to the store. And she was featured as the lead image on the business, the Reading Eagle. And so there are ways we can collectively take responsibility. And this is the type of store that, like, you won't see this. You know, I mean, her products are shipped to her, right? But then the whole community goes there to get them. And I think the more we think collectively about this, the better.
Roasted coffee, but also detergents and all sorts of cleaning solutions and cleaning
essential
supplies.
Essential oils, olive oils.
Yeah. So this is in Reading, Pennsylvania. If you're in Reading, Pennsylvania, stop by. Here it is, the name of the business, Kemerton Refill and Refresh. So stop by there and check it out. But yeah, you know, what can we do about this? But as Edward Snowden says, like, this is a sign of America's decline. Well, what? There's a number of signs. I mean, we saw a few weeks here on the show, we talked about this, and he pointed this out as well, on the I-95, right? Freezing motorists trapped overnight on a paralyzed I-95, endless lockdowns accompany the rise of internal passports, And somehow it all still feels like the like a prologue. Half-heard reports from the ignored TV in the background of a disaster film. Talk about ominous.
So then, I mean, I saw someone in the chat. I'm sorry I missed your handle going through. Say, well, we need to police that. But that scares me even more to then become the police state where everything that needs to be shipped is that's, you know, apocalyptic now is to have our shipping rails policed heavily by armed guards. And it may come to that because we have no other solution.
I don't know. I mean, well, so fix the problem, right? These people are.
What about better security for the cargo trailers? How are they getting in them? Can't they just lock them better?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, when they're parked there, they're parked there overnight, I guess, or it's easy to get up there with a crowbar and just pop that thing off, right? But look, we have a long history in the United States of having trains be protected by armed guards, right? I mean, you could go all the way back to the what was it, the Pilkingtons? No, the what's the name of
Pinkerton.
The Pinkertons? Yeah. Go all the way back to the Pinkerton service, right? You would hire the Pinkertons to protect your transportation of gold and other things on the railways back in the 1800s. Like that was the Pinkerton security system, right? The Pinkerton security forces, which was like an extra. They weren't part of the government. They were a hired group that would do this. But I think this just speaks to the fact that people are so desperate,
yes,
that they're having to rob trains. So let's not just look at the symptom. Let's look at what's causing the symptom,
yes,
in the first place, right? It's like preventative medicine. And I think, you know, when you have an entire Congress that's focused on January 6th as the thing they're focusing on, and they're spending so much time and attention and effort to talk about January 6th as a symptom, mm-hmm, of a broader economic problem. And instead, most of America, as Edward Snowden points out, he says, I'm skeptical that betting the political future of an entire political party on January 6th as the enduring brand in which to invest all time and attention is going to seem as wise when elections come in just 300 days. When he points out the number of...
I don't understand what he's saying there.
Okay.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. He's saying that the Democrats are hanging their hat on this idea that Trumpians are trying to overthrow the government and then that's what will get them reelected. Democrats will be reelected thanks to their steadfast commitment to protecting the U.S. Capitol on January 6th and bringing those people to justice. But what he's saying is that when 71% of American households make less than $40,000 a year, that should be the thing we focus on. So he's drawing this distinction that the Democrats are focused on this crap.
Yes.
I'm not to downplay it, right? What happened on January 6th was awful, right? But when you compare it to 71% of people in America make less than $40,000 a year, that's the problem.
Well, yes. And also think about this. When they did stimulus, the people that you're seeing robbing these planes, they didn't get anything. Like those are the people that were left behind because where are they going to get checks? So those are the very people that needed the help the most and they didn't get it.
Yeah. And they're stealing medicine. I mean, they're stealing rapid tests. You see the empty boxes of rapid tests, like they're stealing rapid tests and medicines and other things. And then they're using, you know, they're also buying, you know, stealing electronics and selling those to try to make money. And this is America right now.
Yeah, it's awful.
What are your thoughts on this? Drop us a comment below on, do you think America is in decline? You know, if you look at some of these latest poll numbers that just came out this morning, most Americans, according to the New York Post, believe the U.S. democracy at risk of extinction in a new poll. Here's the poll numbers out this morning. A majority of Americans now believe democracy in the United States is in danger of disappearing. According to a troubling new poll, just 26% of those surveys said they felt U.S. democracy would be secured for future generations. 51% agreed with the statement that U.S. democracy is at risk of extinction. An additional 23% said they were unsure, according to the data.
I kind of think U.S. democracy went away when we just went with a two-party system.
Going back to 1800?
Yeah, that's when it started.
When Thomas Jefferson became president. So, yeah, the election of 1800, when old TJ became president. Let us know your thoughts on that. We got more news to get to here on the show.
But first, we're going to tell you about our show sponsor, which is Audible.com. Now, is your New Year's resolution to read more books? A great way to do that is to add audiobooks to your repertoire, to your library, you should say. Audible offers so much audio entertainment in just one app. You're always going to find the best of what you love or something to discover. You probably know, if you've been listening to this show for a while, that Clayton and I are bookophiles. And we love to recommend books to you in order to punctuate our point. And for that reason, we recommend Audible to keep up with us. We also have our own book narrated on Audible, narrated by his truly, Clayton Morris. The book is called How to Pay Off Your Mortgage in 5 Years. I always want to say or less. That's not the title. How to Pay Off Your Mortgage in 5 Years, period.
Well, yeah, and you can get less. It. Why don't you try it for free? Look right there on your screen. You can listen to this book, Pay Off Your Mortgage in 5 Years. New members can try Audible for free for 30 days.
That's right. Members also get full access to a growing selection of all types of audiobooks. Ours is just one of the many. But I will point out to you that it has almost a 4.5 average rating, our book, and is rated top in business and money management.
That's right.
So bestseller. Yes, I'm quite proud of the book. It does actually teach you the anatomy of your mortgage, as well as what you can do to not pay maximum interest in time. So anyhow, but you don't have to read business books. You can also read long form content such as comedy books. There are even, for instance, last year I read this book called New Kid with my son, which is normally a graphic novel, but is fantastic in audiobook as well. I'm not sure exactly. I didn't think they'd be able to do that. And I loved it. There's at least two in that series. I could go on and on with book suggestions. You can follow me on Goodreads. It's Natalie Morris for those types of things. But you read what you want. Read what you think is going to make you the best person in 2022. And if that means entertainment value, you need to be entertained. Get those things too. Right now, you can get... What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, for our road trip this past weekend for the kids, I bought, for my daughter, I bought The Racehorse Who Wouldn't Gallop by Claire Balding. So she listened to that. Uh-huh. She also listened to The Worst Witch, Book 1, by Jill Murphy. So she listened. She was really enjoying these. She was listening to those. And my son was listening to the Star Wars Heir to the Empire.
Yeah.
The Timothy Zahn first book in that series on Audible. So we were in Audible car this whole weekend on the road trip.
That's fun. To be honest, I've only just started to embrace audiobooks. I was a bit slow to the trend, but last year I also did the entire Enola Holmes series, all 6 books, and I loved them. It's the Netflix series is based on those 6 books, and those are great too. So 2022, obviously just getting started. Create your reading goals right now. Get 30 days free of Audible. When you sign up, you will not be disappointed that you did. And we wish you happy reading.
Well, and just so you know, you can get Audible on Sonos. And so what I do is I light some candles, get in the bathtub, a nice hot bath, and put on an audiobook and just relax.
Very nice. Ooh, depends like what that. You're reading. That doesn't always sound so relaxing.
But right. Yeah. Well, I know. Like, there's a book that
mysteries.
There's a book that I want to read. It's not relaxing. It's The Gulag. It's a new book. It's won the Pulitzer Prize for history. And so I want to read that. I don't know that would be really relaxing to listen to in the bathtub. But yeah, about the prisons.
I was kind of thinking, like, I think your voice would sound good in there.
Thank you. Well, I did narrate.
You too.
I did the audiobook for our book for How to Pay Off Your Mortgage in 5 Years. So I did the audio recording of that. Yeah. It takes a long time, like, to do the audio to make sure, and then the audio engineer has to edit it and make sure everything is perfect. It takes a long time to voice a book.
Yeah,
by the way.
It's not
as easy as it might seem. Anyway, all right, we got more news to get to here. Let's talk about what's going on. Well, there's a couple of things this morning, a couple of big stories around rules for them, rules for you. And we sort of have breaking news overnight out of Credit Suisse. We'll get to that in a moment. We'll get to Boris Johnson, who is really... I think he's like a bird on a wire right now in Britain, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, about whether or not he's going to be in power for very much longer. But first, let's bring the Credit Suisse story up.
Okay, well, the head of Credit Suisse, Antonio Horta Osorio, has resigned over the weekend after it was revealed that he went to the Wimbledon tennis tournament last July when the UK still had strict rules. That's not him. This is the new chairman,
Axel P. Lehman.
Now, Horta Osorio was brought in amid scandal just last year. So his tenure at Credit Suisse was brief. The scandal revolves around the fact that while the UK still had strict quarantine rules and Switzerland was on no-fly list, meaning that if you came from Switzerland, you had to quarantine for at least 10 days. He chose not to. He flew in from Switzerland, did not quarantine, and went straight to the tennis tournament. Now, why is that so bad? Well, because no one else was allowed to do that, and rules are rules, right? This is very similar to the this, yes, girl, exactly what she says. One rule for them, but not for us. Similar to the parties that have come out that Boris Johnson hosted at number 10 Downing Street. What they're saying is, now he's saying, oh, I thought I was at a work event, even though at the time the rules in the UK were stay inside your own house and do not associate with anyone you do not live with. So there were people in Downing Street that he didn't live with that were drinking, and that somehow confused this bloke. You like that use bloke. Of vernacular?
Bloke. Well, I also love nice. That he's literally leaving down Parliament just yesterday or whatever, 2 days ago. And like, again, I'm too good to wear a mask. Like I'm everyone else in my car has to wear a mask, but me.
So what he's like saying now. What's sorry, that? Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it's been like that for the elite. Think about Obama's party, and you know, you see all these Hollywood parties on the TV, and none of them are wearing masks. Ocasio-Cortez is down in Miami in a, you know, yeah. dance club, maskless. So it's been that way throughout the whole pandemic.
Hey, we're in good company. No Americans are in this most recent round of breaking the rules. One rule for them, one rule for us. This is about Boris Johnson, who's the prime minister of the UK. This is about the head of Credit Suisse. He's Portuguese, but he actually was heading the bank in Switzerland. We're going to talk more about Djokovic, who's been kicked out of Australia. But now they're saying, hey, the problem is that there's just a drinking problem at number 10 Downing Street. You know, there's too much alcohol that goes on. I would feel really great if my government were saying that, like, hey, we just drink too much while we're, you know, and that's the problem. Not that I didn't know the rules that I actually had set myself. Also, it was brought out that he had thrown a party the night before the funeral of Prince Philip. So while the queen had to bury her husband alone, sitting not surrounded by her children and grandchildren, she sat there by herself. But the night before, her government was tying on a package.
Up there, partying at 10 Downing Street.
Right. And so he's saying, now what I need to do is apologize. I'm sorry. And also I need to clean up the underlying culture of drinking. Which
so we're going to make some changes.
That is rich.
We're going to make some changes here in Britain, right? Like Winston Churchill would be in a parliament, like with a handful of scotch, with a cigar. Like you're going to change the drinking culture.
Look, I agree. Drinking is a problem.
But this is
everybody. But that is a scapegoat. It's not the problem in this instance.
This is the Andrew Cuomo thing all over again. I'm going to have some serious meetings. We're going to look internally at the culture here in New York, in Albany, New York. We're going to look at the culture. What about, just look at yourself. You're going to a work event. You're claiming it's a work event. And by the way, three of them. So you're telling the rest of the nation, stay home, no partying. One gentleman who was in London had two of his friends over in their backyard. He was fine, had to pay an exorbitant fine. He says he wants his money back now. Because, oh, you're telling me that I had two friends over in my backyard outside, but you guys got together and partied multiple times at 10 Downing Street? Like, it's hypocrisy. That's what it is. It's not a drinking problem. It's hypocrisy. It's elites telling us one thing and doing something entirely different.
Right. And so now the Australian government is using that as an excuse for having kicked out Djokovic. He cannot participate in the tournament, which starts today, which means he won't get a Grand Slam because you have to participate at all of those major tournaments to right. get that. And now France is saying you can't come here either. We have a no partying if you're not vaccinated. Is this the...
This is live at the... Well, this is the airport just a short time ago in Belgrade in Serbia where Djokovic now landed. He was, you know, kicked out, deported, visa, reneged. And this is the airport here waiting for him, his flight to arrive. And showing up here in Serbia.
What is so important about tennis, you guys? You have to go to Wimbledon and you have to play.
Yes, you have to go to Wimbledon.
And you have to play the Australian Open. And look, I think we can discuss the merits of whether or not these quarantines are worth anything or the vaccine mandates. We've done that many times. We're not going to right now. But the point of it is, if the rest of us are, I mean, we stayed in a small apartment for 14 weeks with three kids. We did what was told of us because that's what the rules were, and we agreed to a social contract of a government. So how come we can follow the rules of our social contract, but that contract precludes elites?
Right.
It's not
time,
right.
No, time and time again. And, you know, so I didn't know who this guy was. Do you guys know? We have some Australian viewers. Let me know in the chat if you know who this guy is. Lord Sugar. He's on The Apprentice. He's an Australian businessman. So he tweeted this morning about it. He's like, what did he say? He said, sorry. Where is it? Where is Lord Sugar's tweet?
It's not right next to him. That one.
Is this Lord Sugar? Here's Lord Sugar. He says, well done, Australia. You stuck to your principles and threw Djokovic out. No one is bigger than the rules or the law. Hats off to you, Oz. Talking about Australia, right? And he's like proud of his prime minister, and he's proud. But nevertheless, as people point out, didn't you go and do a television show while the rest of the country was in lockdown and businesses were closed, Lord Sugar? So again, you know, one rule for you, one rule for someone else. Here's one. One rule for someone, another set of rules for the rest. Duplicity served Australian style.
Right. And I think that it's important for us, those of us who, whether or not we agree with the rules, but followed them because we are good citizens and we honor our social contract, right? For us to say this is unacceptable, and another way that governments pick winners and losers, and those of us that were then following the rules are losers. And that sucks. I mean, Saturday Night Live in New York City was considered essential business, right? How is that okay? Why is nobody being held accountable for that?
Yeah.
David, do you have a reason for that?
Saturday Night Live is essential.
Hey, I tried. I tried to hold them accountable, but they didn't listen to me.
No. And, you know, the thing is, like, when you've got even kids in Britain right now joking about the prime minister's future. I mean, children in Britain are aware of the hypocrisy. And that's startling, right? You're supposed to be able to look up to your president. You're supposed to be able to look up to your prime minister, right? You want to grow up and be that person someday. The joke in England is no one in England wants to grow up and be the prime minister, but it's still a figurehead, right? So this idea that kids are joking about it, like, mommy, why can Boris go to a party, but we can't, Peppa? Well, Peppa, you can't go because you're just an average citizen, Peppa.
Well, I mean, think about little kids who got no birthday party that year. In that, probably that same day, right? There was many little kids' birthdays, but he got a party for what? For what purpose?
Well, there's three, you know, a number of conservative members of the Conservative Party now are saying their mistakes and are calling for his resignation. And reports this morning are that Boris Johnson could be on the way out. I mean, he's going to try to talk about the drinking culture. He's going to try to pull an Andrew Cuomo. We know how that goes.
I love the clip of him. Do we have audio there where he's apologizing and, you know, the parliament's like, no, shame on you. Like they just yell still. I would love that. Like, let's bring that to the United States. I like that.
When they, when
just
they
do call this out.
Margarita legislation.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, we don't have this audio.
No, it's him apologizing, but they're just yelling.
And
no.
They're just like, we hate you. They didn't say that. The British are too passive aggressive.
It is kind of weird. Like, they're very formal in that way. But then when it comes to Parliament, you know, they all yell.
And you can run amok.
Yeah. I'd love to know. I mean, let us know in the chat what you guys think about this. You know, do you feel like that these people should be held to account? I mean, we can have a broader discussion, I think, about the merits of these rules, but at the end of it, it's you have these elites who are putting in place these rules, telling us what to do. You have these business elites that live by one set of rules, and we live by a whole other set of rules. We would be fined, we would be jailed, we would be kicked out of our league, we would be told business shut down, all kinds of problems. Like that guy who got a fine for having his friends over in his backyard.
Yes.
You know, at the same time that 10 Downing Street is holding holiday parties. But I just also love, can I just say, he didn't know that it was a party. He just thought it was a work event. And then that's the culture problem. It was hard for me to tell the difference.
That's why this word exists. Daft.
Daft.
I'm saying it with an accent.
Oh, you're so daft?
Daft. Don't be daft. Daft, right? That is, doesn't sound nice coming out of me. But it is the very definition of the word. It's like, you're acting like an idiot. Like, you don't know what's going on here.
Really? This is the culture at 10 Downing Street. There's always alcohol. There's always parties. So I just didn't know. I didn't know the difference between a party, a holiday party, and just a normal work event. So I didn't know. I'm going to change the culture, though, right? That's the problem. No, the problem is this separation between these elites.
But how many politicians do we see in America do this as well, and it did not cost them, like Gavin Newsom, right?
No, I am surprised. You were just in London over the weekend. Did you see, the news reports about it? I'm sure the newspapers were filled with Boris Johnson headlines. In the United States, this kind of stuff happens. Like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, like these people break quarantine, all these different people, they tell you one thing and they break the rules, and they're not held to account in the United States. I am surprised, though, in England, that even among his own party, they're saying he needs to go.
You don't think that the Gavin Newsom recall vote was in part because of his flaunting of his own rules?
Yeah, I guess. Yes, and in part.
Nancy Pelosi, but her feet absolutely was held to the fire also, for getting her hair done.
But it wasn't other Democrats doing it. It was the other party. It was the other political party. All I'm saying is that I'm surprised that the conservatives in Boris Johnson's party are stepping up saying, yes, we need to change. Like,
oh,
that his own party is saying that. You know, Trump could do whatever he wanted. You're not going to have Mitch McConnell telling him that he was wrong. Like, they're always going to be on the side of, you know.
Yeah. Well, I did not read any tabloid over the weekend.
You're walking past news shops. I just thought would have been all over the place.
No, you know? I had a wily 5-year-old with me. I didn't.
Did you guys get the newsletter yet today? Let me know in the chat.
Let's see if I'm checking.
I texted our team.
Nope.
Oh, there was an issue. He said they're debugging. They're going to post shortly. So there's a problem with it. Just keep checking.
Sorry, you have to hear it here first, guys.
Yeah, but hey, that's why you join us here.
Yeah, but at least you're here. You're with us.
Robert Hoyt, thank you for your super chats. It says, it's not new. It's been like this since the first human empires. The ruling class have always seen the masses as beneath them, and they live by their own rules. Yeah.
Yes, but it's still a sobering thought. And now we have ways to call them out about them, and so we should be doing just so.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, if they honestly felt like this was truly a pandemic that was that dangerous, they would have abided by the rules. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't take it as seriously as we were supposed to.
I hadn't thought of it
that way.
That's
the problem.
Yeah. If they were really scared about it.
Yeah.
Right. Or is it just an opportunity to clamp down on the plebeians, you know, to clamp down on the mass number of Americans. What's the class I'm trying to think of?
The proletariat.
The proletariat. Yes. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. The coffee hasn't kicked in yet.
The plebeians. I mean, that was pretty good, like, too.
Just the one thing, like, where that lady had her restaurant, she was shut down, and just across the street from her, in eyesight of her restaurant, was the movie industry, able to fully function, no social distancing, have people eating and staying at these chairs. So it just showed you right there the division of, you know, the elite versus the working class.
Yeah.
By the way, I this is a side note on the Djokovic story, is that as they were describing why they did not want him to be there and kicking him out, they said, as Northern Lass, who's a reporter, said, unbelievably, one of the Australian government lawyers' main arguments is that Djokovic may become an icon of free choice.
Right. Yeah. They said that his presence could stir up an anti-vaccine sentiment, and that kicking him out was necessary to keep Australians safe. No matter how many times we test him and keep him in a bubble until he gets on a court, his presence is a figurehead. Not just of flouting the rules because he's a famous tennis star, but also because he doesn't want to get vaccinated based on his recent infection, and the government can't have that.
An icon of free choice.
Yeah. So it's interesting because Nadal is the only real headliner that they have there now. Who's my boyfriend that I like so much?
Rafael Nadal.
No, Roger Federer.
Oh.
He's not playing because there's two major stars. He's not my boyfriend, you guys. I'm just saying.
Oh, what is this saying? Oh, is this what Federer's doing? I didn't see this. Federer is saying that he's not going to play in.
He was hurt, though.
Oh, okay.
They were saying that he was hurt. That's what I read this morning.
Okay.
But maybe he's making a political statement. I don't know. Yeah. So it will be, I mean, you know, we're not going to get that Djokovic, Nadal. We'll just see who. I still will tune in for Nadal. I like him too.
All right.
I like these handsome tennis stars. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But I will. Do you think this hurts the tournament? Or yeah. People will watch it more.
It's like when Tiger Woods is not playing in the Masters, like the ratings plummet, right? It's like, you know, when you don't have these, you don't have a person who's going to defend his championship. Like he was the champion of the Australian Open. He's not allowed to play because of politics, basically. And now people are going to tune out. Who's going to watch the Australian Open now that the person who won it last year is not allowed to play in it to defend his title? Like that's.
I'm kind of interested to watch it.
You're not going
to
watch it.
I'm more interested to watch it now because it's all like, you know, I can name the major players, you know, the Williams sisters.
Boris Becker.
Boris Becker. Yeah. John McEnroe.
Anna Kournikova.
Anna Kournikova. I can name her.
Billy. What's her name?
Millie Vanilli.
Billie Jean King.
Yes.
Yeah. No, she's a bit retired.
Oh. All right, let's talk about Tesla in China, shall we?
Okay, I thought this is an interesting story because with all the talk and lip service around reducing our dependence on China, what we talked about earlier in the show, Walmart, Amazon, China, this trifecta that keeps us in a bubble, Tesla has actually gone and done something about it. So Tesla says now that it will source this graphite needed for its batteries from Mozambique. And so now the raw material will come from an Australian company that is actually in Africa. They operate one of the largest graphite mines in Mozambique. And so now Tesla says that they will buy up 80% of what the plant produces. That's 8,000 tons of graphite per year, but not starting until 2025. Okay, that's nice, but it is unlikely that China will feel this as anything more than a speed bump. China has plenty of graphite and electric car sales are doing just gangbusters there. So they can continue to manufacture and sell internally. So on the one hand, it's like, okay, good. Somebody actually, you have to break this apart piece by piece, right? Someone actually started to reduce dependence on China. On the other hand, the fact that it's so unnoticed by China. And it's just one component of the battery. It's not any other components. There are many components, obviously, that go into an EV battery. It's troubling. Also, you know, of course, there's the environmental issue, but that is going to persist no matter where the raw materials are coming from. So it's interesting.
Well, again, so this is one of those stories where you have to, I always want to figure out like where is the wokeness in this and where is the financial benefit for this? So it may have made more, it may have either made parallel financial sense for them to do this, mm-hmm. right? And I don't want to say like, I think maybe, you know, Elon Musk does great things and I don't want to be disparaging here, but is there a financial reason it's going to be on parallel for them to do it outside of China? Is it going to make financial sense for them to do it? Or is it going to cost more, cost less?
Yeah.
That's one piece of this. At the same time though, as I put up this headline, they're still being criticized for opening this dealership in Xinjiang, China, despite the obvious reports of all of the Uyghur oppression that's been there.
Yes.
So they're opening up this new showroom and saying, hey, you know, China engages in forced labor, mass detention, internment camps, forced sterilizations of women, et cetera. So how can you go there and support this region of China and open up this Tesla showroom there.
Right.
So you do it, you know, what I'm saying is on the one hand and then on the other hand, right? Great. We're going to move these battery. Yes. We're going to find other places to get these battery parts. But at the same time, we're opening up a showroom. And then that kind of speaks to the book I just finished reading on Woke Incorporated, right? Which is, again, you can have this press release to talk about how you're environmentally, you know, you're taking things in your own hand. Environmentally, we want to get out of the dirty practices of getting our minerals from China because of what they do.
Right.
And on the other hand, we're still fine with opening up a showroom despite all of this Uyghur oppression and forced internment camps.
And there is no evidence that the mines in Mozambique are any greener or have any better practices or are, you know, it's just, and so now they're saying, well, they have to pass some sort of regulatory checks to make sure of that. But at the same time...
Do any of us believe that, by the way? They're going to have to pass regulatory checks? Like, who's... Come on. Who are the watchdogs that are really making sure that these big businesses are doing the clean thing?
Let me see if it's quoted in the story.
I just don't buy that stuff. Who are the watchdogs? Like, who put them in charge? And very often these watchdog groups are... Watchdogs or government groups are sort of certified by the very businesses they're supposed to be watching.
Yes. I mean,
it's the same thing, it's the same thing in the United States with pharmaceutical companies. It's the same thing. Well, who's approving these different chemicals that get to be sprayed on farms? You know, it's the very industry that's making these chemicals. So I never believe this garbage to begin with when they have these watchdog groups that are not somehow tied to these industries. They're all in cahoots and they're all friends, by the way. And they'll come to their factories and they'll buy them lunch.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
That's the way it always is.
Yeah.
What are you looking for?
I'm looking for specifically who was the regulatory group that had to sign off on this and what, like, it hinged on. Maybe you're right. Maybe that was lip service. I'm not sure. But it is interesting because there are a lot of experts who say that, you know, Africa is the new place for innovation, specifically for mining parts and, you know, and now
good
we're
for them.
Seeing,
I mean, hey, I don't want to, you know, I think that's great. That's great that they're taking that move. We'll see if other big tech companies do as well. We'll see if Apple moves in this direction. I know Apple's been trying to get away from the dirty minerals and batteries and things like that as well. But at the end of the day, when, you know, it's very hard to walk away from like the cheap labor and the cheap resource.
Of course.
You know,
of course.
Especially because we as Americans, we want our cheap electronics. You know, we want this stuff shipped by these trains that are being broken into on a regular basis. So
I know it would suck to have your profits go from, you know, a trillion down to half a billion. I mean, come on.
No.
Right.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
How are you going to handle that? Yeah. How are you going to handle that? We got more news to get to here. We're going to tell you about what's going on with this new billionaires list is out this morning. Plus, we've got what's trending. But first, I want to tell you about our friends. I do want to tell you about our friends over at Hone Health. Do you know right now that there is a testosterone crisis? Would you say there's a testosterone crisis? I would. Because right now there are millions of people who have basically suffering from low testosterone.
And yes, I would say that all hormones are out of balance due to endocrine disruptors
and environmental
all
concerns.
Over our environment. Yes,
well, that's
I
where
would say that.
Clayton,
what's that?
That you have a plethora of testosterone.
I have a plethora of problems. Well, we have a plethora of problems. And Hone Health is a comprehensive hormone optimization clinic that helps men get back their energy, focus, libido, and muscle mass by addressing the testosterone issue. And here's what Hone Health does. Actually, order this, and they basically send you a biomarker test at your home. And we're going to show you how to get it for a discount today on the link on your screen. But when you, for an in-depth physician video, so you get the test, okay, and then you also can meet with a physician, and FDA-approved medications to hopefully improve your overall situation. So did you know that testosterone levels have decreased substantially over the generation? Our father's generation had testosterone levels that were 25% higher than ours today. Can you imagine? What in the world is going on that theirs were 25% higher than ours? It affects energy levels, muscle mass, focus, overall mood. And the thing is, this is not our fault. There are many factors, like Natalie was just talking about, such as environmental changes that are affecting our generation. Today, 30 million men in the United States have low testosterone that's affecting their lives. And right now, if you order Hone Health's easy-to-use at-home assessment test today, you can learn your testosterone levels, because most people don't even have any idea what their levels are. Are they in the right zone? And then what to do about it? Meeting virtually with a doctor so that you can actually get an assessment about where to go from there. For a limited time, only listeners get the at-home test and a doctor consultation for only $45. Just go to honehealth.com/invest. That's honehealth.com/invest to take advantage right now. Again, that's Hone, H-O-N-E, health.com/invest to get that at-home testing and a doctor consultation for $45. That's it. That's all you will spend. So they're giving you a nice discount on that by going to, again, honehealth.com/invest. Originally priced at $60, you get it for $45 plus that doctor consultation. And it's really important to understand what these levels are, guys. It's an easy process. It's very simple. You collect a little sample, you mail it to the lab. Once the results are ready, they'll do a video chat with you and you'll speak to a real doctor. And they'll recommend a personalized treatment plan based on your biomarkers and your symptoms. So you've got to check it out today. Again, honehealth.com/invest to try it out.
All right. Well, almost 500 new people joined Forbes billionaires list in 2021. That is a record number. And recall, this is a time when many businesses were folding due to lockdowns. COVID numbers were peaking. But yeah, it's all right for some. China has the most billionaires of any other country, but the United States is second. Some notable people who joined: Kim Kardashian. She got a divorce last year, but still that didn't seem to affect her bottom line because she has her shapewear line and her cosmetics. Yeah, cosmetics is what it is. I'm obviously not a consumer of those things. The U.S. has 724, like, more billionaires than anybody. Or no, I'm sorry, 724 billionaires. I'm sorry, the U.S. is first. China is second. They have 698. A woman joined the billionaires list for the first time is a woman who owns a vaping company. So that is apparently very profitable. In the top five is, you may recognize him, you know and love him, Mark Zuckerberg at 97 billion. I wonder, like, I suppose the way they do this is they take the market cap of these companies and they understand the CEO's vested interest in the companies. But you may recall that to be a billionaire, it has to be your net worth. So you have to understand certain people's liabilities to know exactly what they're worth. And wouldn't a liability be private? Like, what if they have a big mortgage?
Right. How do you know that?
I've always been unclear about this methodology because this is something we teach in Financial Freedom Academy, is how to come up with your net worth, and you have to know all of your debts. Your net worth is only what you would have if you sold all your assets and paid off all your liabilities. Still, you know, if you just kind of count the net worth of what these people own in terms of market share of their own company, it still is considerable.
But here's a guy who, you know, of course, you're wondering, like, these different people who took advantage of COVID, who made lots of money thanks to COVID, right? Here,
yeah.
Healthcare billionaires on the COVID front lines. Pratap Reddy, an Indian billionaire doctor whose hospital chain saw a doubling of its stock price. So,
yeah,
man, these pharmaceutical companies and hospital and healthcare companies really just exploded thanks to all of this.
If you pull up the chart called Total Number of Billionaires and Self-Made Status, it does seem that more billionaires were made of their own stock than, say, legacy wealth. Although a wonderful book to read about legacy wealth is called Entrusted. And actually, the people that wrote it are our lawyers, Andrew Howell and his partner. I don't remember his first name, Goyman. And they talk about how most people do not pass wealth down generation to generation because they do not teach their children how to manage and earn and be deserving of wealth. And so people who inherit wealth most of the time lose it within one or two generations. But the chart does show that.
Where is this
are
chart?
You not able to?
I can't find this chart.
Oh, okay. If you click on this, sorry, hold please.
Okay.
And then scroll down and look at the circle chart. Go. Down.
Okay, got it.
Go down.
Got it. Okay.
As my five-year-old says, she says, stroll down with a T. Just stroll, mommy. Stroll down. You don't have it still?
Okay. I'm scrolling
stroll
in this chart. Strolling just down. Okay. Boy.
Sorry, you guys. Maybe we're on the wrong link. We're all looking at Forbes list, but it's,
yeah, I can't find
we
it.
Have different. Okay, I'll hold it up. Just take a look at the circles. This one is 2021. So the red is how many billionaires are self-made, and the light blue is inherited billionaires. And so it does seem to show that more and more billionaires are self-made as they are created.
Yeah. You don't happen to have it, David. Is David still here?
Yeah, I don't know.
I had to mute because Jennifer was busting up bananas downstairs.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
We freeze our bananas and she was making a smoothie.
Oh, I gotcha. Same. We do that too. All right. What do you have to say about that, Clayton?
Not much. I mean,
self-made people, you're inspired?
I mean, self-made, yeah, self-made then with government subsidies and like really self-made. I mean, health insurance. I mean, I'm just looking through this list, right? Drugstores, chemicals. I'm just looking at their source, you know, and where
they're making. Which their is industry. Problematic enough.
Right. You know, healthcare, you know, on and on and on for companies or for, you know, healthcare manufacturing.
Miriam Adelson joined the list for the first time. She's the inheritor of the Nevada casino chain from Sheldon Adelson. Tyler Perry.
Just coincidence that 40% of the U.S. dollars in existence were printed in the last 12 months in 2021. Like,
no.
Is that any coincidence that, like, that transfer of money? Because, like, just with what's going on with the pandemic, 9 new billionaires came from the pharmaceutical industry during, you know, the pandemic with the vax stuff. Hmm. So, you know, I mean, that's a lot of money. I think 4 trillion or something had been printed and was in circulation up until 2021. And then now I think it's like 17 trillion, I think, that is in circulation.
Yeah, 40% of all money created was created in American history was created in the last year.
Yes.
And 40%. How much of that went to these people? You know what I mean?
Huge amounts. And then, of course, you have somebody like Jeff Bezos, who specifically was fighting to get additional tax benefits for, you know, for his SpaceX, yes. Or for Blue Origin, right? And pitching a fit and wanting to sue the federal government over not getting awarded the Mars contract. But that goes to Elon Musk. Like, okay, you don't have enough? Like, you want to sue the federal government because you didn't get your little contract? Okay.
How did he do that? Again, you cannot sue the government without their permission.
Maybe they gave him permission.
How?
These guys are like, you want to sue us? Go ahead. I don't know. I mean, okay. You know, I guess there's certain people you can sue within the federal government. There's certain, you know, but you're not allowed to, I think you're not allowed to sue members of Congress. You're not allowed to sue members of government, but you can sue certain.
You can't sue the U.S. government. The U.S. government can sue you. But you could maybe sue an agency.
I suppose. I mean, people have definitely taken different agencies to court over, you know, over time. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Interesting. All right, let's talk about what's
interesting.
Trending. Oh, go ahead.
Really quick. The U.S. government has been printing massive amounts of new money. On January 6, 2020, the U.S. Federal Reserve had around $4 trillion. On January 4th, 2021, the number had increased to $6.7 trillion. And now it's like $17 trillion.
Yeah.
Like, think about that. Like, we had $4 trillion in circulation. Like, that's just insane. And you guys wonder why we're seeing inflation and why the dollar is becoming less valuable. It's because there's too much in circulation.
Yes. I am going to refer you to fantastic the most recent Wealthability podcast from December called Inflation and the Feds. Specifically, this author talks about how that just doesn't make sense. His name is Sabrin, Dr. Sabrin. And I have considered reading his books because it was fantastic. This one, the second one, Inflation and the Feds. If you want to sort of understand the market forces behind that, it is worth thinking about. Okay, shall we talk about what's trending before we get you out of here to go take your day on, not your day off,
right,
for Martin Luther King?
All right, what's trending on the internet?
Scream 5 is trending because the movie premiered on Friday and there are a lot of spoilers out. I don't know them, but I did sort of skim them. I'm not going to watch this, but it did revolve around why the masked person wears that mask. If you saw it in the chat, maybe give a thumbs up or thumbs down, but we won't ruin it for anybody else. I am not a horror movie connoisseur, so there you go.
Courtney Cox making a return.
Yeah, she was the reporter, I believe. I only saw the first one, and I was so traumatized by it.
Is that Neve Campbell?
And her ex-husband, David Arquette.
Yeah, they both were in it, I thought, right?
Yeah, they're both
in it. Is that how they met? No, I don't remember. Sorry, my 90s pop trivia is...
wonder what that's like working with... I mean, hopefully they're still good friends. They have a kid together, right?
They have at least one. I think they have two. Anyhow, okay. We'll have to rewind the clock to 90s tabloids to know the answer to those things. Save America is trending because former President Donald Trump's Save America tour stopped in Arizona for its first rally of 2022. The press could not resist that one because they like to present. I don't know. I do feel like Trumpies get a bit of a bad rap, some earned and some not so much. Yeah. See, like, this is the lead image, is the girl with the upside down. Like, anybody could make that mistake, you know, but they're sort of painting them as like, oh, the, you know, toothless and ignorant are coming out again.
No, of course, if you're a newspaper, right, you have the choice to choose, right? You have the opportunity to choose your photo that you're going to use for your image. What are you going to choose?
Right.
So if you have an agenda, right, you want to paint these guys, you want to paint all these Trump supporters as, I'm, you know, I can't stand Trump. I'm not a Trump fan at all, but like, this is your choice, right? You of the photos you're going to pick, you're going to pick the one where the woman is holding it upside down.
Yeah, it's very reductive. We do have a picture of Trump. Let's get off this image because I don't want to participate in that.
I had a problem. Like, so that's what was going on when I worked for the Ron Paul campaign in 2012. And Bill O'Reilly and those people would come to the events and they would go around and look for the either a drunk person or something like that. And those are the people they would interview. They never interviewed any intellectual, you know, like person that could articulate Ron Paul's stances. They always got people that were like, you know, would make him look bad. And it was by design.
Well, do you remember even Garrett? Was it Gary Johnson, the New Mexico? Was it New Mexico governor who ran for president? Gary Johnson on the libertarian side. He, you know, he was very pro marijuana. They would go do the same thing to him. They would go to his speeches and they would look for like the pothead, you know, and they would film that guy. And they, you know,
What's interesting is that I went to look for the tour website and all I saw was like liberal media in my search results for the first 10, like result, the first page for Save America was all Pod Save America, or, you know, you would think that it would be higher ranked in your search results. And it just feels like I am not a pro-Trump person. I was relieved when the Trump presidency was over, but at the same time, I do feel like...
is it Save America Tour?
Yeah. And so this is his new slogan, is Save America, because make America great again. They still are using the hats, but Save America is the tour to specifically reclaim
it,
power.
It's not even in the top results. So the top one is Pod Tours. So Pod Save America.
Yeah.
The liberal podcast.
I'm just wondering, it doesn't seem right.
You wonder if Google has an agenda? Are you surprised? You sound surprised.
I feel very ignorant
this.
Saying that you because so, I know.
I mean, all the time search results are suppressed based on what big tech wants to do. I mean, we do not live, you know, Washington, D.C. is not the seat of power. Silicon Valley is the seat of power. These guys run the show. Like, if you want to search for stuff, this is who runs the show right here.
Yeah. I know the chat room's always telling me to use DuckDuckGo, and I'm with you, but I also like,
You have to. Yeah, we use DuckDuck. I use DuckDuckGo all the time. But if you're going to show off, you know, example here, like this is important to see.
Yeah.
You know,
regularly Trump will make the news and then I will go to the source because I want to see like what is the actual statement? What did he actually say? And if you Google it, you can't find it in the top one or two pages because his stuff is suppressed. Rightly or wrongly, that is the way it is. And I should be able to get his site as my top search.
Did you say rightly or wrongly? Why is that even a question?
It was a figure of speech.
Okay.
Of course, because it's wrong. Like
right.
if
he says something and you're doing a search to find what he said and it's suppressed, that's wrong.
Yes, that's wrong.
Like, I don't agree.
I don't care what he's a Trump saying. Fan either. I do not like the guy at all. I tried to share people like how he actually treats working class people. There's a documentary called You've Been Trumped. You should watch it if you want to see how he treats working class people in Scotland. But he did more for the American people than Biden. But you don't hear that. Like, They don't want you to know like the positive things that he actually accomplished for the American people during a pandemic. I mean, he did more for the American people than Biden has.
Well, you think about the vaccine, right? I mean, he gets, you know, so on the one hand, he gets vilified for that. Then the other, it's anyway. But yeah, nevertheless, big tech is not a fan of Trump, and they'll go to great length. I mean, look, you even just saw the OWN network being pulled off the air. Is it DirecTV is going to be ditching the OWN network or OAN network? Sorry, OAN network is being pulled off the air because of they say they don't want it on there anywhere for spreading whatever. So this is like, again, big tech decides who gets to hear speech, and yeah. It's okay. Speech is okay if it's filtered through Google.
Yeah. Okay. Olivia Culpo is trending because American Airlines apparently told the model to cover up before boarding a plane, even though she was dressed in this. You know, I guess, look.
Does it look like a bra?
Yes. My thing with that is fine. You know, people wear that in the gym. So you could wear it and airports have gyms. Maybe she was working. I don't know. Like, wear what you want. It's just very impractical travel clothes because if you're taking on and off a backpack or something, you're going to pop a boob out. So it's very impractical. But people are like, no, she was dressed. She shouldn't have to.
I don't that should matter if a boob pops out. I mean,
yeah, boob's like, a boob. A boob should pop out.
No, I'm not saying. Okay, a boob should be allowed to pop out because I nursed many hours on flights. I popped my boobs out all the time on airplanes. I don't anymore. I don't care about that. It's just, it's a curious choice. It's like,
okay, you're going to tell somebody how to dress and then you're going to turn around inside the plane and serve food that's going to make people fat. You're going to serve soda and stuff. Like, shut up with your virtual signaling.
I don't understand that connection. Like, why you can...
Because they're like, why do they have the right to tell somebody what to wear? It's like, they don't give out healthy food. They don't really, like, you know... I'm just saying they're trying to make it like we can't allow this on the plane, like we can't allow somebody to show skin or something like that. Like, it's like you're not an arbiter of like good practices, so why do they have the power to do that?
And is there a dress code on your, you know, ticket?
Yeah, when you
purchase?
Book a flight, is there say you can't wear a sports bra?
Right.
Like it says that right there. Maybe it is in their terms
of
service. But
plenty of people wear crop tops these days. They're very in. So how is that different than any crop top?
I wore a crop top on my last flight.
Yeah.
Did they ask you to change?
Yeah. So I think people are mostly defending her. And yeah, I think she should have the right to wear that too. I just don't think that it's very practical travel clothes.
Ula Hula says, when I was a kid, everyone that flew planes dressed in church clothes.
Yeah.
Talk about, yeah. I mean, back then, you take a flight back in the day, everyone was wearing like a suit and tie. I mean, think about how uncomfortable.
People. Yeah.
Yeah.
The first plane I ever went on, like my mom bought me an outfit for it, you know, like that was the thing. So, but now I've been on planes in pajamas basically, especially when you're nursing.
Right.
You just got to it's
not the 1950s anymore. Now, now you put on this, the most comfortable sweatpants you can possibly find, you know?
Yeah. Okay, Bill Murray is trending because a quote being shared on social media right now. Let's pull up that image.
Jim Jackson says, "I love the way Natalie ignores your jokes." Yeah,
I
think that's
true. I heard the joke. It's I'm.
What's the?
I'm laughing on the inside.
Uh huh. What's the? What
Bill
am I pulling
Murray.
Up? Oh, Bill Murray.
Okay, Bill Murray. This quote is: "So if we lie to the government, it's a felony. But if they lie to us, it's politics." Has been shared a lot, even though there is no evidence that the comedian and actor ever actually said it.
Doesn't sound like.
I actually shared this on my Facebook profile a long time ago, and it was attributed to somebody else. I think it was George Carlin.
Okay. So now the internet thinks it was Bill Murray, but the Reuters tried to trace the background of it, and they could only find that it was a parody Bill Murray account on Twitter that said it, and that account no longer exists. The actor and his people have not confirmed or denied it, but they're pretty sure it's not Bill Murray, so don't share that attributed to Bill Murray, even if you like the quote.
Yeah. Do you remember that whole Robin Williams Canadian quote thing?
There's a lot of things like that. There was the one that Trump said, if I ever ran, I'd run as a Republican because they're stupid. And then that, he never said that either. Yeah, there's a lot of that. So this is fake news, guys.
Yeah.
And finally, hashtag things you should just do is trending as people share suggestions of things. Not that.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
What are you doing?
I don't know. I just saw that. I thought it looked appropriate. What is the...
okay, hashtag for? Things you should just do. Top right, second from the top right.
This one?
Nope. Right there. This yes, one. That one. Hashtag, no, that's... Oh, that's not it. Things you should just do. Well, maybe we don't have those. It's like clear the snow off your car or wake up early or meditate or things like that. I thought it would actually be more practical. It's like get over your ex or I thought it'd be like, you know, clean your washing machine door or give the dog the anti-flea medicine or balance your checkbook.
Do you see it here?
I guess I don't. Okay. Oh, yes, this one.
The document?
This one.
Oh, this one.
That one.
Okay.
Is like, you know, yeah, you don't want to be that guy driving down the street where you didn't properly clean out your car.
We live next to an idiot. Flies off
and hits other cars.
That's exactly right. And you can get a ticket for that in many states.
We live next to an idiot when we lived next to a couple of idiots in South Orange, New Jersey. This guy, I'm just going to call him Frank.
No.
I'm just going to call. I'm going to give him
no,
a name.
No, what? We're not going to call him anything.
I'm just giving him a name. Anyway, he wouldn't shovel. He lived next door to a blind woman who would walk her child. She was literally like, I mean, she would see colors and stuff or like light.
But she didn't have a driver's license blind. Because she was legally blind.
And she would walk her daughter to school or maybe even her daughter would walk kids. Her to school. I don't know, because she couldn't see, but she would walk her a couple blocks up to the school. This guy next door would never shovel his walks.
Yes.
Instead, he would drive his car back and forth over the driveway to make a path. Just
for
so
him for to get in and out, but not for his blind neighbor who would walk.
Like, that's this kind of guy. Like,
yeah. You know? Wow. So, yeah, this is an inconsiderate thing to do, is drive with your car like that.
Yeah.
Because you could hurt somebody behind you.
By the way, I love this guy because
I don't want any backlash.
He found out
this.
That I had worked at, like, we moved into the neighborhood. Please, Clayton, he found out that I had worked in the Fox News. And he was like, oh, I don't know. I can't go over to their house and meet them because if he works, like, he just by association thought because I worked, you know what?
Stop it.
Why? I'm telling a story.
Because I want to maintain a friendship with certain associated people. Please don't tell this story. Fine.
But he had a problem that I work. But he is such a good person. All I'm saying is he's such a good person.
Stop.
Such a good person. She divorced him anyway.
Hey, there's people.
Didn't she?
There's people asking me this.
Oh, not
stop.
Yet.
Sorry, just sorry. Just literally no. Stop.
Sorry, they didn't get divorced yet. I don't care.
I do. The
guy's an a-hole. He couldn't take care of his blind neighbor. Go ahead. Sorry.
It's okay. People were asking me to clarify on what I meant about the correlation with the plane and the woman with the outfit, right? It's basically a biblical thing of take the log out of your own eye before you take the twig out of somebody else's. It's like the airlines have so many things they can worry about internally with themselves than worrying about what people are wearing. I guess that's the, so yeah. Maybe it still doesn't make sense, but it does in my head.
Sure.
I get it.
We appreciate that point. I appreciate that contribution over others.
Hey, come on. Anyway,
I'm going. Goodbye.
Yeah, I'm glad people agree with me. Yes.
All right. Yes, do we have super chats?
His wife was
before
lovely.
We turn off the stream, and his then I was, yell at Clayton
his
about
wife, his wife was lovely.
The reason I can't keep friendships.
His wife was lovely. I'm going to say that she's lovely.
Stop it! Just stop. Stop right now.
Robert Hoyt super chat says it's not new. Been like this since the first human empires. Oh, we already read that one. Ruling class.
Yes. Ethan.
And then, wear unisex clothes. Jeremy Bird says, I'm not sure what that's.
Oh, about to. What to fly in. That's unisex. You could wear that, Jeremy.
First of all, it's so uncomfortable. I just don't get, I get your point about it being uncomfortable and like it's impractical.
No, it's very comfortable. It's just impractical. If you are wearing a backpack, it doesn't look like a very supportive top. So you're putting on and off straps of your travel
bags. Planes can be cold too. You know, I don't know where she was traveling to, but I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, if I could, literally walk on a plane with Speedo and an aqua socks, that's how I would go because I'd be so much more comfortable.
I want to picture that.
I don't think you would.
Aqua socks. Actually. Where would the aqua socks be?
On my feet.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, thank you for those super chats. We appreciate it. We hope you have a great day, especially if you are on holiday today for the holiday. We will be back here tomorrow with a newsletter and another show.
Hopefully the newsletter. I'm glad that we spent so many hours on the newsletter.
Yeah, I do not see it still, but it is coming, you guys. Hold out.
So the bug was fixed, apparently. Did you guys get the newsletter today? The bug was fixed. Our team says there was a glitch on the mail server, so now it's been sent out. So hopefully, did you guys get it? Did you guys receive it? Please,
I've not gotten it yet.
Okay.
Oh, I hope you're getting a message about it.
Hope you.
Okay, thank you for joining us today. It was a pleasure, and we will see you here tomorrow.
And always... shovel your walkway for the blind.